It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, happy Friday, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Unbelievable as this first month of the year is rolling just like last year rolled. It just amazes me. And so welcome to the program as we have our last one for the end of January. And with me today, I like to call people that I get back, friends of the program, Dean Craig. And, you know, Dean, you're with the Willamette Workforce Partnership, and you are the Business Services Director, correct, Dean?
That's correct.
Yeah, Dean, nothing I think more important than knowing about relationships between potential workers to marry themselves, if you will, to potential businesses.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are about. Dean, for people that have never heard of this, just kind of give a cliff note version of what the Willamette Workforce Partnership is.
Yeah.
And then how you and your life experiences got you involved with them as we start out, Dean. Welcome.
Love it. Thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Thanks,
welcome.
Jake. Appreciate you having me here. It's kind of a fun story. Let me give you an overview of what a workforce board is, what Willamette Workforce Partnership is. We are the Workforce Development Board for four counties, Lynn, Marion, Polk, and Yamhill. There are nine such boards across the state of Oregon and some 600 across the nation. And we operate under the Department of Labor's Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. So we're largely funded by the Department of Labor, and we have other funds as well. But that guides our day-to-day work. And there's two sides of our operation for the most part. There's the job seeker side, which frankly I don't get too deeply involved with, but I do on occasion. And there's a business side, which is really what drives the job seeker side at the same time. Interestingly enough. So I get to work with businesses all over the region and I work with them to find out what their challenges are.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's helped them identify challenges that they know are there, but they don't necessarily know how to put their finger on. So we'll work with them and identify those challenges and then seek to repair them, fix those issues. Sometimes it's directly workforce related and it means training, right? For instance, a new technology comes along in an industry, whatever it is, and really the large job seeking population doesn't know about that technology. So we'll work with oftentimes a local community college. In our region, we have both Chemeketa Community College and Lynn Benton Community College to develop educations to teach these people how to do this work, and they can go get those jobs. And then we also have our WorkSource Oregon centers, which help connect those people directly to those jobs.
You know, I think this is huge. We've had opportunity to talk to the ag director and computer technology director, I believe.
Tim Ray.
Thank you.
There you go. No problem. Good buddy of mine. Great guy.
And the work that, well, trending.
Yeah.
And where, hey, if you want to go to college, that's great. But here's something else. Here's Chemeketa Community College to put out things like CDLs for trucks and stuff like that. How much do you interact with Chemeketa?
A lot.
Talk about that a
little bit. Well, you just mentioned something that's near and dear to my heart, the CDL program.
Correct.
So this whole listening thing, right, that I brought up a moment ago, that program was a direct result of a listening session we had with trucking companies, warehouse distribution companies, and all of the stuff that we see all up and down I-5, right?
Yeah.
We're in the hub of it all.
There's a bunch.
So we pulled 20 some odd different organizations together and sat around a room for a couple of hours talking about what their challenges are. And what percolated to the top, the number one challenge is we don't have enough truck drivers. We knew that was a problem, but we needed them to verbalize it, right? We needed them to say, yeah, that's a problem that we want you to work on.
So you're telling me the trucking industry kind of got a hold of you guys?
No, I invited them.
You invited them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my first job. My first started here in 2018. My first gig was we need to find out what the trucking and the warehouse distribution industry needs and wants. So I put that together. We met at the Trucking Museum in Brooks, which was a great setting, right? Had a facilitator come in and we talked and we listened and we took notes and we literally within 6 months had the CDL school stood up and operational.
And I talked to Tim about that probably in the fall. And, you know, it costs a little bit of money.
It does.
But you know what? I mean,
you think about it, it's really cheap. when you think about it, long term.
Sure.
It's a $6,000 investment, and oftentimes our organization can help fund at least part of that.
Yep.
If not all of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to make promises I can't keep, but there's maybe a good opportunity for somebody who wants to earn their CDL.
And you get hired. You pass it.
Yes.
You pass it, you get it.
Absolutely. And you, it's not unheard of to make $70,000, $80,000 a year right off the bat.
Yep. And you will stay busy.
Yeah.
Dean, you grew up not too far from where our farm was, so you're very cognitive of rural life.
Yeah, I still live very rural.
Yeah, you're near Molalla, if I remember.
Yeah,
right.
Between Silverton and Molalla.
Yeah, and how has that helped you with doing this job? And talk a little bit about the relationship between what you guys do, even in the ag world, if you can.
Yeah, I grew up working on farms. I mean,
yep.
My very first job outside of my family's little apple orchard farm, right?
Yeah,
was sorting broccoli roots on Harold and Ann Kramer's farm.
Yep. I know who they are.
Right?
Big. They're a very large presence in the greater Mount Angel area.
Absolutely. All of my children, I believe all five of my children worked for them.
Wow.
Well.
I did not know that part of you.
Yeah. My children's mom, my first wife, worked there as well.
Well, there's a lot of jobs available at Kramer's.
Oh, it was great.
Gosh, they're huge.
And honestly, Jake, sidebar, I wish more kids experienced working on a farm. Yes, it's hard, dirty work. Awesome. That's great.
Yep.
Even if you hate it, that's great.
Yep.
Now you got to go find something you can do that you don't hate.
When you look at this, Dean, because you've been there, and I certainly, what kind of connections do you guys bring to even the ag sector?
You know,
how are things playing in that way? We talked about the trucking industry.
Mostly secondarily, honestly. And the reason I say that is because of how we identify our sectors. And it's a little bit quirky, but a sector has a title, right? And an identifying number. Ag has a whole bunch. So it's not just one.
Yep.
Right? And that, to me, that's unfortunate because I think that ag is the biggest sector in our whole region. But we don't get to identify it as a singular sector. However, we do recognize that manufacturing is a sector, and healthcare, and warehouse distribution, transportation, and construction, and hospitality. And every single one of those is touched by agriculture.
Sure.
Every single one.
Yeah. And so let's back up a little bit from the intro. So in your adult life work experience, how did you get involved, and what was your history that allows you to be business service division director.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I looked at you guys, you got about 10 people counting you on staff.
Yeah.
If not more.
No, we actually have 9 now.
Okay.
Eight.
So, that's all right. Talk about how you got involved. And we've got about a couple of minutes. So just go ahead. Fill us in on that.
I grew up agriculture first and then went into manufacturing sawmills. Worked in the lumber industry for about 10 years.
That'd be Molalla.
Silverton and then Molalla.
Right? Yeah.
Remember the RV park in Silverton used to be the mill. I worked there.
So you were there, and I knew other people that worked there. And,
and
they closed off, 30 years ago?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were there.
I was there.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I moved to working in Molalla, sawmill there. And then I went to work on a Monday, and the gates were locked.
Wow.
The spotted owl got us.
Yep.
Right.
In the 80s.
Yeah. Early 90s at this point. But yes. I didn't know what to do. I did not have my GED because I had dropped out of high school and my son was born.
Wow.
And I went to the employment department. And I said, I don't know what to do next. They said, well, let's get you your GED first. And then do you want to go to school? I thought, that's a cool idea. So I got my GED. I started studying to be a police officer.
Okay.
I loved to hunt and fish, and I wanted to be a fish and game officer because I really have a problem with poachers.
Right on.
Right? So
right
I wanted
on.
To go
right
catch
on.
Poachers. Ran out of money at that time, funding. And I went and got a job, and I got the job at Silvercrest Homes Manufactured Housing Place in Woodburn.
Yeah.
And I moved up very quickly because the cost accountant one day was walking along looking at lumber. She goes, I don't know, what's a board foot of lumber? Well, having worked in the sawmill, I understood that.
That helps.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I helped her calculate all the lumber around the place that afternoon. 2 days later, I got offered the job as her assistant.
Wow.
And I continued to move up and learn some things and ultimately became the operations manager there and started working with, because we had some hiring challenges, with staffing agencies. and I'm making this probably longer than it needed to be. I got recruited away from there to run a staffing agency here in Salem called Personnel Source, which I did for 15 years. During that time, I became involved with what is now called Willamette Workforce Partnership.
Yeah.
I joined their board and became their board chair and every leadership position on that structure. And then I left after my wife passed away. I went and worked with my son for a little while. Became a need to become more of his dad and less of his business partner.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then I got a blind text one day. I was working for another gentleman who you may know, Jesse Rodriguez Construction.
Okay.
I was working for him. I got a blind text one day. It said, check your effing email.
Well, that'll wake you up.
Boy, right?
What did I do wrong?
I didn't know whose number it was.
Yeah.
So what's your response to that? Who the F is this?
Yeah. Right
and
on.
It turned out it was a economic development leader in the area, and he had sent me the email with the job posting in it.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Wow. Dean Craig with Willamette Workforce Partnership. We're going to continue on this vein right after this. Jake, Rural Matters, hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, it's amazing to be here. So thankful for this station here in almost the heart of Salem, heart of the Willamette Valley, and the capital of Oregon, with everything going on. And with me today, I've got Dean Craig, and Dean's been on the program before, and talking about his involvement with the Willamette Workforce Partnership and, you know, services, business services director. What does that mean, Dean, to be the business services director? Because there's all kinds of people working in the Willamette Workforce Partnership.
Not only in our organization, but adjacent to as well. And a lot of us call ourselves business services, but what does that mean?
Right.
It's a kind of a generic term for those of us who hopefully are listening to businesses across the area.
Okay.
And the area, again, for our area is Lynn, Marion, Polk, and Yamhill County. So yesterday I was down in Albany listening to businesses and talking with them. And I talked to a construction company, I talked to a trucking company, and I talked to a healthcare organization.
Okay, so let's pause on that just a little bit. What are they saying to you? What are they asking, and what answers can you give them?
That's a huge question, and we don't have time to get into all of it. I can tell you that.
Highlight it.
Because
sure. If there's confidentialities, totally
get
that.
No, it's not that. It's some things that we aren't able to do.
Right.
So oftentimes it goes right to regulation and policy and these sort of things. We are not allowed and probably shouldn't get involved with any type of lobbying like that.
Because you guys are a nonprofit.
Right. We are a nonprofit. We remain neutral.
Yep.
Right. So we want to serve business, but we don't get into the political field at all. So of those conversations I had, two of them were very, very deep seated into policy.
Right.
So I could listen, I could offer my opinion, but I can't really do much except for that.
Got it.
Unless it comes to introducing them to people who can do things, and I can do that.
Yep.
Right.
So you got to stay careful.
Exactly. Exactly. So the other thing, you know, one gentleman was talking about he was having a hard time keeping employees.
Yep.
So we talked about it. I said, do you have a hard time hiring? Well, I didn't used to, but I do now.
Okay.
And we talked for probably a half an hour about his procedures and processes and what it's like to work for him. And honestly, at the end of it, I said, I think you're at a point where you need to, as a company, mature.
Okay.
And he goes, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I know you know your business, you know your work, but in order to maintain employees, you've got to understand them too.
Right.
And what their needs are, because they come to work for more than just a paycheck. That's the impetus, but really for their life, for their lifestyle. And if you understand their lifestyle and what their wants and needs are, you can be a better employer for them and become the employer of choice in the area, in your field. Then you will have no more problem recruiting or retaining people.
So, you know, as we look at things in general, where we talk about, you know, the national unemployment rate or the state or even the counties that you're at, there are jobs available. Trucking, definitely.
Always.
Where are you seeing a lot of availability where someone could knock on a door and if they've got the qualifications, where are some of the places that people should look for work?
Definitely trucking, for sure. And when I say trucking, people oftentimes automatically think of, gosh, I got to be gone for a week at a time.
Right.
That's not always the case.
Cross country.
Sure, it is sometimes, but you don't have to.
Right.
Right. Every construction company has truck drivers, needs truck drivers.
Yeah.
Right. Every local delivery company needs truck drivers. Amazon needs, all of them need drivers, right? Some require a Class A CDL.
Yeah.
Some require different endorsements along with that Class A. Some only require Class B, like many construction companies for dump truck and, yep. and cement mixer. That's a Class B CDL. You can drive school bus if you have the patience and earplugs.
Yeah. And a very high tolerance for drama. Just remember,
I mean, I joke,
always an end to it.
For some people, that's the right gig, right?
Yeah.
It's all about what your needs are, and there are a ton of jobs. Warehouses. There are warehouses all up and down the I-5 corridor that are hiring all the time.
Okay.
There's still a lot of construction going on, even though we may not be building as many houses. There's a lot of commercial construction still going on, road work going on. There's all kinds of things always happening. There's some manufacturing happening. And then there's healthcare. A huge, huge, huge need in healthcare. And it doesn't mean you have to touch blood to be in healthcare, right?
Okay. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that's a big deal.
It is a big
because
deal.
Because you think you've got to be a PhD, and you should be. Obviously, you've got to know how to learn how to do stuff.
Right.
But talk about that a little bit.
Well, there's definitely education requirements, right?
Yep.
But some of them are relatively short-term certificate opportunities that are a licensure that you can go get your certificate, sit for your test, pass it, and become whatever that is. There's an entry point, a great entry point is CNA to even find out if you like it. And there are many organizations that will pay you while you earn your CNA.
Yeah.
Go try that out. Check it out. See if you like it. If you don't, let's pivot and talk to somebody about doing something different.
When we get to the end of this program, Dean, I really feel in my heart, when I was thinking about you coming out, is that get all the contact information out so that people can say, I need to talk to this guy,
yeah.
or I need to get a hold of this organization from you know, a labor point of view, wanting a job. Dean, so you settled in about, gosh, in my math, almost 8 years ago.
Correct.
Talk about what you've been doing, and you know, even with yesterday when you were visiting,
yeah.
And what kind of narrative you drew from that visit down in Albany.
Yeah, so it's interesting that I initially went down there for the Chamber of Commerce luncheon, and the speaker was somebody I was interested in learning from and meeting. And it was the president of Western University, which is a medical university in Lebanon, Oregon.
Okay.
Not that many people know about.
No, I didn't.
Right? And it's been there for a decade.
Wow.
I know. At one time, they were called the DO School, the Doctor of Osteopathy. I'm probably not saying that correctly. That's what they were known as. Long the short of it is they're expanding. And they were talking about their expansion. They're expanding into behavioral health,
wow,
which is huge. Wow. The need for behavioral health in our state, in every state, but particularly in Oregon, I don't know the measurement of it. It's just that vast.
Wow.
I mean, not to get on a tangent about unhoused people, but if you drive along and you see people living on the streets, oftentimes behavioral health is the impetus of what put them there.
Well, that's kind of my bread and butter where I work.
Right,
you
right.
I mean, I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. So they're expanding into that and some other, all of them I don't know, to be honest with you. But I got to have a conversation with the presenter afterwards because we work in behavioral health. We just had a meeting this morning about with behavioral and physical health folks about what's going on with you. What are we doing? Where do we need to go? We've created some action committees to try and work towards solving some of these challenges. One of them is we have a hard time recruiting doctors here, really hard time. We don't have enough docs in our whole state, let alone just in our core area here, to serve the populace. Well, in talking with some of those people who would like to come here, they love the state, they think it's beautiful, there's great recreation opportunities, they like the clean air, they don't like our schools, they don't like our cost of housing, they don't like our transportation systems aren't very good. There's a number of things that they all tell us, and I'm not speaking out of church here. They tell us this regularly.
Wow.
That's why they don't come here.
So they're intimidated by our environment, which shouldn't be that way.
Well, they don't want their kids to go to our schools.
Wow.
They flat out told me that before, and I'm embarrassed when they tell me that.
Wow. That's it is a bit of the signs of the times. So, Dean, you take that in with you and some of the other myriad plethora of yeah. other folks that were there.
Yeah.
And what other things can you share in the last minute and a half, Dean?
One of the things I think is particularly important is we as a society, and this is my own soapbox a little bit, right? we as a society don't do a very good job at preparing our kids for even not a career, but just the idea of what work is.
Yeah.
Right? We've kind of pushed aside the idea that personal responsibility is important.
Yeah.
We've pushed aside the idea that math is important to know for any job. We don't teach our kids how to balance a checkbook. Right?
Basic stuff.
We don't even teach them about citizenship education.
Yeah.
Right? We don't teach them about how our governments work. But we give them an opportunity to complain.
Yeah.
But we don't teach them how and why.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally hear you there. And we're seeing that, and we're not going to go that route, but I get what you're saying there. And the school issue too. And we're taxed pretty good in this state, Dean.
We are. And I'll add this. I don't blame the schools 100% for that. I blame the schools of the 90s for that. Late 80s when they started taking some of that stuff away. Shop classes, personal finance, right? It was a requirement when I went to school way back when. It wasn't for a long time. They have since put it back, and I'm thankful that they have. I believe it's now a statewide graduation requirement, along with Oregon employability skills.
Wonderful. Talking with Dean Craig, and we're going to be back. Jake Rural Matters right after the news. Hang on.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Rural Matters back half of the program, visiting with Dean Craig from the Willamette Workforce Partnership. And Dean, you're the business service director. Hey, how long has this organization been going? 600, across the country.
Yeah.
You guys are in a bunch of counties locally here.
Yeah.
When did
it
all start? When did this come about?
There has been a workforce board system of one form or another dating back to the 70s.
Yeah.
And there's been evolution, of course, with different acts and different focuses. And I'll be honest with you, I've been engaged with it for a long time, and I'm happier with the current act than I've ever been with any of the previous ones.
So you like where things are going?
I do. And the reason I like it is because we're engaging with business, right? We're learning from business sectors, and we're also helping them be better employers, which everybody wins in that situation.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
I want to back up to before the break.
Yeah.
Talking about, some of the not healthy trends that have come from our society. And I mentioned to you, we've got this participation trophy type attitude. You know what? You and I went to school, Dean, to the same high school.
I mean,
Silverton, right?
Yep, Silverton High.
And personal finance, how to do your checkbook. And I remember some of the teachers were very, if you don't do it this way, it's too bad.
Yeah.
And unless you've got a really valid reason with a almost signed, sealed, deliver, notarized note from your folks.
Yep.
You're going to take a hit on your grade.
It's tough luck. Yeah.
And we've developed that narrative. What are you, when you see young people today, what are you seeing and how are you talking to them? The 17, 18 year olds, even up to lower to mid 20s.
Well, I'll tell you, Jake, I'm actually quite excited about the very younger generation.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good to
really
hear.
Excited.
Good.
I'm tickled with their enthusiasm for life. Their enthusiasm for wanting to do something. I think what's happened, and the pandemic may have had something to do with this. I don't know for sure, but these kids that are now in high school and coming out of high school have looked at their predecessors over the last 5 years or 6 years and gone, I don't like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to walk around with a blank stare. I want to engage. I want to live life. But now, I will tell you, they don't want to sign up and work for a company for 30 years. That's not who they are. That's not what they want to do, but they do want to make an impact.
Okay.
Wherever they are and whatever they're doing, which is, I think, awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've said this numerous times when we've taken Rural Matters on the road to county fairs and Polk and Marion, of course, are the big ones. And then station manager and I, Jeff Morgan, and I did the rodeo towards the end of the season in, I even did one with Hunter the year before.
Nice.
And we're there at the fairgrounds, and you see the FFA kids, you see the 4-H kids, and even the ones that are kind of like dragged along with them, there's just this vibe that I find incredible. And we've had FFA people in here, Dairy Princess is in here, and I want to believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I want to, you know, with what you do, there's when someone has been working and they just got laid off, Dean, and they're here in this program, whether you're gonna, you know, you've been doing a job for a long time and you're obviously upset, you're nervous, you're anxious, what do you recommend for them to do if they hear your voice and they want to get a hold of you? What can you say to them to offer encouragement, Dean?
I'll tell you, and I deal with this frequently, not directly, because I don't serve the job-seeking public as closely as some people may think I do.
Yeah.
But I do work with people who do.
Okay.
So the first thing I advise somebody to do who just lost their job is to sit down and calm themselves.
Yep.
Relax.
Yep.
Just chill. I'm not talking for a week. I'm talking for a day.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to get going.
Just chill yourself out. Create your budget. Right?
Yep.
Know what you need to make to live on.
Bare minimum. Very good.
Then you go directly to the Workforce Oregon Center. Make sure you sign up for unemployment if you're eligible. If you're not eligible, you talk to them about any job you can get. I don't care what it is.
Anything.
Any job.
The classic flip the burgers at McDonald's,
right.
Whatever it takes.
Absolutely. And the reason I say that, two reasons. One, you might fall in love with it.
Right on.
Right? You could hate it. And that's okay, too. It'll be motivating to get out of it. Don't you dare quit that job until you find another one.
Yep. Yep.
And then keep working with that person who showed you that job. They'll help you find a better one. And then you leave it the proper way. You give that manager, that owner, some notice so they can replace the position you're going to vacate. They get a new person, you move on to a new job.
Fantastic. You're an older person.
I'm really old.
No, I'm saying this rhetorically. Well, what does that make me? Especially as you said, you watched me walk in today. I'm a little bit like slightly lame today. Oh my gosh, I've been doing this job. I was one of those 30-year, one-job persons,
right.
And man, I'm an old dog. Can I learn a new trick?
Yes, you can.
Can we, Dean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about that for a little bit.
It's all about desire.
Right on.
Right? It's 100% about desire. If you decide you can't, then you're probably right. Right? If you decide you can, you're absolutely right. It's all up to you. Don't limit yourself. Right? I believe, and again, going back, I'm a high school dropout.
Yeah.
I have never yet found a job that I could not figure out how to do.
Well, you know,
I wanted to.
You got me thinking in the first segment. We're talking about you were talking about when you know leaving high school, and I remember one of our teachers, and you'll probably remember him, and I won't mention the name, but the comment that teacher made, it always stuck with me, and it was actually going into a personal finance government class that we had collectively with a bunch of classes was, hey. Here in school, we're not here to teach you a trade, although there was the shop, there were some things. We're teaching you how to learn.
Yeah.
That was and I always remembered that. We're here to teach you how to learn.
Right.
Granted, math, the sciences, and the other things, but
yep.
Ultimately, it's up to you.
It is.
It is, right?
Yeah. I've said this many times, and I've got two sons that are in education. One's a vice principal at Silverton.
Oh, okay.
And one's a health and PE teacher in Philomath, and a daughter-in-law also. I tell them and I tell every educator I come across, your role is workforce development.
Yep.
At the end of the day, the end of that student's time in education, what's at the end of the road there?
Yeah.
A job, right? That's what it's supposed to be. Now, there's a lot of different things they've got to do to get that student ready. They've got to learn some math. Well, don't just sit there and write on a board equations that they don't understand. And I'm not an educator, so I make it sound a lot easier than it is.
Yeah, I got killed in algebra. So I got killed.
Right?
Oh, God.
Why is there an alphabet in math?
PTSD I don't know. From that class.
The point of it is we've got to help make it. It's got to be relatable, right? It's got to be tangible. They've got to understand how to apply it. How do you use this stuff you're teaching me in a day-to-day life and in work?
100%.
It matters.
It does.
Just like rural matters.
It does. Because what happens rurally, ladies and gentlemen, affects the urbanites as well. Particularly when I think of where you and I came from, and you know, my entire adult life was spent in the dairy world.
Right.
And you, of course, felt the results at the time of when the lumber industry really took a pivot hit.
Yeah.
And not for the best, not in my opinion. We've got just a little over a minute, Dean. Talk about some of your favorite stories as having been involved, if you can, without...
Absolutely.
We've got a minute and a half.
Okay. One story that I just told the other day, and it's fresh on my mind. And this is before I was here, but I was engaged with the organization. Had the staffing agency. Guy came to me, said, I want to work at this company. Didn't have a driver's license, didn't have a car, but had a bicycle. He said, I promise you I can get to work. Living in Salem, working in Woodburn.
Bicycle.
Uh-huh. Wow. I took a chance on him.
Wow.
He's still there.
Does he have a car now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A very nice car.
Eventually, you can do that. Imagine that.
He rode his bike from Salem to Woodburn every day and was never late.
Put on the rubber gear, put on the rain gear, have all the lights, put your helmet on.
Find out what motivates you.
Yeah.
That's the whole key. He was motivated not to live that lifestyle anymore. Of day to day.
Do you keep in contact with some of your people that you've dealt with over time?
Yeah,
Dean?
I do.
It's got to be good, right? Keeps you going for tomorrow.
Awesome.
It does.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We're visiting. I'm so enjoying this. Dean Craig is with the Willamette Workforce Partnership, and you know, you're the Business Service Division, and there's all kinds of divisions in the Willamette Workforce Partnership.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to talk about, too, you guys even have language, dealing with Hispanic.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about in the next segment. Jake, Rural Matters with Dean Craig. And the final segment coming up. Hang on. Hope your Friday's going really well.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, talking between the break. Fastest hour of my life. When I'm in the studio... doing the program, and it's fun. It's so great to meet people like, Dean, you've been on the program a couple of times, and it's been an honor because I really feel like the labor and business part of Oregon needs to step up. It needs to step up.
Yeah.
What's important right now for your organization, Dean? What's going on? And talk about some of the challenges if you are comfortable.
I don't get too granular, but big picture, funding. We need a certain amount of money to operate so that we can assist other businesses, right, across our region. The only way we can invest, and we look at it as investments, right? We invest in businesses and we invest in employees for those businesses.
Yep.
We can't do that without money.
Yep.
And we do have some funds outside of the federal government, but it's our biggest funder is the federal government, the Department of Labor. And we're hopeful that the act continues. That the WIOA, the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, continues at a fully funded rate. And we hope to actually, we'd like to see an opportunity to grow it through, I'd like to see it with incentives, frankly. I know the government doesn't tend to work that way, but I feel like if we do a good job, we ought to be able to get a little bit more money so we can continue that good pattern and do better even for the job seeker and the business public.
Yeah.
This is public dollars reinvesting into public.
Maybe for a minute, discuss what it means to be a nonprofit so people have an idea about that, what that really means.
A nonprofit is just a tax structure, frankly, right? It's a business. We are a business. We're an independent business. We're governed by a board, kind of two, but I'll only talk about one. That's made up primarily of business, by the way.
Yeah.
So that we operate in the way that our board guides us and the act guides us. So the board guides us within the rules of the law. And we operate on a daily basis. We have a director, right? An executive director. She is my boss. She's the boss of all of us. She's the CEO, mm-hmm. right? Excuse me. We have other directors, myself. We have a segment of the business that we manage, that we run the day-to-day. I've got two people that I get to work with every day who do work alongside of me to serve businesses. These things are what other businesses do. It's the same thing. It's just a tax structure. So we don't pay into the taxes on our business. We do as employees. We pay personal income tax.
Sure.
But we don't pay property tax and stuff like that.
Right.
So
you guys are located in Salem as well.
We are. We're inside the Chemeketa Center for Business and Industry.
Yeah.
Along with SEDCOR and the Small Business Development Center. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. And I want to give everybody a chance to be able to contact you guys. What is your favorite thing about what you've been doing for the past over half dozen years?
Oh my gosh. One favorite thing?
Certainly the story about the guy with the bike going to Woodburn from Salem is great. What gets you up in the morning? What motivates you?
learning about how business is excited to grow their business, right? They don't do it. It's not a job. It's their life. Yeah. And they get up every day and they do it. Mass Timber right now, I'm so high on Mass Timber. I, if you're not familiar, that's a whole episode in itself. But if you go to the Portland Airport, you look up, you look down, that's all Mass Timber, secondary wood products, I'll call it, because it's more than just Mass Timber, which is large pieces of wood put together to make bigger pieces of wood. The tiles on the floor in the airport, made across the bridge in West Salem.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah, who knows that?
Right. We need to let everybody know that.
Yep. So get messages out.
It's also agriculture.
Right on.
Right? Trees are agriculture.
Sure they are. And it's one of the cries of this program is to take off some of the handcuffs and not overregulate when it's not necessary. Farmers aren't about abusing their land.
No, they're great stewards of it.
And cattle, dairy, poultry are not about abusing their animals. They're not going to make a dime. They're going to lose. Dean, talk to a junior in high school right now,
yeah.
A high schooler, and maybe their folks are listening. And what advice do you have for a young person as they, do they go to college? Do they do military?
Maybe.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But if not those, what's your thoughts on that? We talked about trucking.
Yeah.
What opportunities can you talk to a 17-year-old who doesn't feel like he wants the debt of school?
What do you enjoy doing? Right? Do you like to work outside? Okay. We can help you with that. There's some great opportunities in agriculture and in construction, road construction, house construction, commercial construction, where you'll be outside if you want to. There's great opportunities if you want to see the world. Drive truck. Right?
Yep.
Become a flight attendant. Right.
Never think of that, really.
Right.
You definitely see the world that way.
Yes,
no
you can.
Doubt about it.
Yeah, and you make a good living, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is you want to do, there's a job for you.
Yeah.
If you are willing to do what it takes to learn how to do it. Now, that might be education. It will be some sort of education. It might be a class. It might be a degree. It might be on-the-job education where you learn as you go. That's awesome. You get paid to learn. Apprenticeships are a fantastic way to learn a great trade.
And you can help connect people
Absolutely.
To that when yeah. they get a hold of you. Also, too, you guys deal with the Hispanic workforce as well.
Oh, sure.
Dean?
We don't turn anybody away. We work with anybody who wants to work.
And you got language ways to communicate and so on and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, we have bilingual staff that can help folks that English is not their first language. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We work closely with Salem for Refugees, which bring in people that are refugees, mostly political refugees from all over the world.
Okay, talk about that for a second.
Well, I wish I could speak okay. intelligently about it, but
I put you on the spot.
I'm not super well versed in what they all do, other than help people resettle from Somalia is a common one.
Yeah,
right. They bring people here to help them become American citizens, living and working here.
Hopefully doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You know, what trends are you seeing, Dean? Colleges are still going, but the yeah. Shemekinas of the world.
Yeah.
And how do you think that plays going forward?
I think that, so let's talk about how they started out if we have a moment.
Yeah, we do.
They started out kind of as the trade schools, right?
The community colleges?
Community colleges, right? And they got a little, in my opinion, got a little ahead of themselves and became this whole idea of we want to be everything to everybody. Well, that's been a struggle, right? Because when you do that, you become a really expensive thing. And I'm not targeting Shemeketa in this. All community colleges
sure.
struggle with this. There, I love my partners at Shemeketa and at Lynn Benton. They want to work with us to hear what businesses say so they can design things that businesses want people to learn. That's the trend I'm seeing. They're doing that more in the last couple of years than they ever have in my experience.
And I think they're reaping the benefits from it.
Yeah.
I really do. When you and I were going to school, it was, you got to go to college.
Right.
If you want to, of course, by your own admission, you didn't even get
nope.
Past your junior or halfway through your senior year at SUHS.
Right.
And, I got to go to college. And I'm proud of my degree. I have
yeah.
one. But I would, as we look back, I go, there's some other things that are out there as well. And, to walk away debt-free and have a trade, whether
yeah.
you're driving a truck or you know how to do electrical or plumbing or working outside doing all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you're sitting at 100 grand a year.
Right.
With very little debt.
Yeah. My dad was a career truck driver. Learned how to drive truck, on the farm in Eastern Oregon when he was a kid, but mostly in the service.
in the military.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the military itself is also gaining numbers right now. And so, all right, we need to talk a little bit. Anything coming up for you guys? Anything that you'd like to share with us, Dean, while we've got about 2 minutes left?
I want people to know the value of Workforce Oregon.
Yeah.
Workforce Oregon, many of us have labeled it the unemployment office because that's where you tend to go to sign up for unemployment. Well, you don't do that like that anymore. But there are services there that we contract to provide. So we have contracted teams that work inside those centers to help job seekers identify what they're interested in and find the avenue to go get that job, whether it be education, sometimes, again, we can pay for that, or go talk to Joe at Joe's Garage if you want to learn how to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
He'll teach you, that kind of thing.
You got to get off your rear.
You've got to get off
your fanny. Have your one-day pity party, as we talked about earlier, and then start laying some things out. Talk real quick. 1 minute, resumes, how important are they?
Vital.
Talk about it real quick. You helped my daughter with one.
Don't get cute, right? Yeah. Don't overword it. Get the facts. And if you're going to use an objective, this is my personal peeve. If you're going to use an objective, make sure it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? To say you've been a nurse and you want to get a job as a nurse is insulting to the reader. Right? We know that.
So how do you phrase it?
You don't use an objective if you're staying in the same line of business.
Right.
I don't. Yeah. I would not recommend it. But so if you're switching, it makes sense.
Keep it tight.
Yep. Keep it tight. Make sure your grammar's correct. Make sure they can read it. No pictures. No identifying things. They just want to know what you've done and where you learned it. And can they confirm it? That's it.
Get those people that will back you up.
Those references.
Get those references.
Yeah.
Real good. All right, Dean, we got 1 minute. People are listening to this or they look you up online.
Yeah.
Real quick, how do they get a hold of you? What do they need to do? What should they be prepared to talk to you guys about even before they decide they want to contact you?
You know, if anybody wants to look me up, I recommend LinkedIn. It's the quickest way to find me. They can use email, but I'll be honest with you, I get 200 a day and I probably won't see them all.
Wow.
So,
yeah, okay.
So LinkedIn is the best place. Send me a personal message in LinkedIn and I'll get back to you.
Sure.
Right. I guarantee I will get back to you. It might be brief, but I will get back to you. The other thing is go to the Workforce Oregon office. That is where a lot of our money funnels to help people with their job transition.
So go in there and visit.
Yes.
Wow. Good to know. Where's it located real quick, Dean?
Corner of High Street and Union. I don't know the number on the building.
It'll show.
There's one in Woodburn. There's one in McMinnville, one in Albany, and one in Lebanon.
All right. Dean Craig, Willamette Workforce Partnership. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. Jake, Rural Matters. See you next week.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.